We're going to look at the reality at the border and the two bills up for vote with one of the men who authored it, Bob Goodlatte. Congressman, welcome back.
Good morning, Brian. It's great to be with you and your viewers, your listeners.
Yes, all across, especially in your state of Virginia, across the country. So let's get started. Congressman or Chairman, do you believe the president backs your bill as well as the compromise bill?
Well, he most certainly does. He has backed the bill that I introduced along with Mike McCall, Raul Labrador, and Martha McSally since the start. But that bill, which is a great bill, has not achieved 218 votes. And so we've worked together, our group, along with leadership, along with Freedom Caucus members, with discharge petition signers, with the Republican Study Committee, a lot of great people, to work out this new bill. I call it the consensus bill. It is not a moderate bill. It is a bill to give the president his four pillars, address the DACA population in a fair, sensible way, no special pathways to citizenship, and it secures the border. But it has something that our first bill doesn't have, and that is a trigger that says that as you address the DACA situation, if the funding doesn't continue to flow for not just the wall, but border security technology, the personnel you need, and closing the loopholes, if that doesn't happen, then you have a holding up of the other matter. And that connection between the two is, in my opinion, really important, because in 1986, we had a disaster when we helped some people and then did not have the enforcement follow through. This is going to have that follow through.
Now, I understand, too, in the bill, if I got this right, and don't worry about correcting me, I just want to get it right, that includes a provision to address the separation of immigrant children from their parents.
You bet. Absolutely. Now, important to remember, if two U.S. citizens get arrested in the United States, they don't get to bring their children to jail with them. And these are people who have broken the law. They've come across the border. But people in the U.S., likely they aren't both going to be in jail at the same time. Likely they have family members and so on. These are people who have come across, and they shouldn't have done that. And they need to be held to send the message that people shouldn't try to cross our border illegally. But separating the children, we're sympathetic to that. And so we are hard at work to make sure we have a provision in this bill that will allow the children to remain with their parents, but with the parents under the control of the Department of Justice or the Department of Homeland Security, depending on the circumstances in which they entered the United States.
So we're talking to Chairman Goodlatte. So what I understand the president making his comments on our show saying, I'm not for a moderate bill, but derailed everything Friday. So then he came back and said, listen, I'm for both Goodlatte and the consensus bill. So he's for both. Now, Tom Cole came out and said the president, he says, I think if he leans on it hard, meaning this bill hard, he can make a huge difference. Do you believe the president will? And if so, when's the earliest there'll be a vote?
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that the president weigh in on the importance of getting 218 votes and passing one of these two bills. We will probably have a vote on at least one, maybe both of these bills later this week. But the president is coming tomorrow evening to meet with the Republican conference, and that is a critically important meeting. I think he will come with the message that if we take this issue of securing our borders, keeping the American people safe, closing the loopholes, moving toward a merit-based immigration system, and doing something fair for the DACA population. And by the way, that's only people who entered before June 15, 2007, which was the original Obama date. There's not going to be an explosion of the number of people who can participate in this. If we do that, I think we'll put a lot of pressure on the Senate to pass something, and it'll send it to the president. He, of course, would sign it, and we would really make a big difference in what is going on with regard to immigration policy in our country.
Forgive me if you've addressed this, but Paul Ryan's legislation is different than your modified legislation, right?
Well, Paul Ryan does not have legislation. He has been involved as a part of our leadership in bringing all these parties together, as I described them earlier, to negotiate a bill.
Right.
And this consensus bill is the second bill which we have agreed to do. Remember, all of this turns off the discharge petition as well, which would be a very bad way to move forward. You
right.
get an unbalanced bill with the Democrats and a few Republicans passing something that would not do the president's four pillars, would not do the kind of security, border security closing loopholes, et cetera, that this bill does.
So do you have the DACA? Do you have it at 1.8?
We don't have a set number. What we say is that if you were below the age of 16 before June 15, 2007, and you applied and you're under the current program, you can apply for this. And we say that if you didn't apply, you can also apply for 1 year.
Right.
And the importance of that is that we told these people that the Obama program was unconstitutional. The president didn't have the authority to set it up. This is going to be a statutory provision, and I don't see why you wouldn't let those same people apply again. We have very good, strong.
Right. So you're only putting one bill forward.
No, we got two bills.
You got your old bill and the new one. Because what about the House
correct.
Leadership bill? Is that an accurate name? Raj Shah called it the House Leadership Bill. Do you not call it that?
I would not call it that either. It's a consensus bill. That's
okay.
what I'm calling it. It'll have my name on it, just like the first bill, and hopefully a lot of other members who are involved in negotiating this as well.
All right. I want you to hear what Michael Hayden, former CIA director, said about the border situation. Cut 21.
In terms of our southern border, we have more foreign nationals moving south across that border than we do moving north. We have been a net exporter over the past several years. What's happening there right now is not a national mm-hmm. crisis. I get it. We're a sovereign nation. We have a right to control our borders, but we should do it within our ideals.
So we do not have a problem at our southern border?
Well, I think we have a serious problem with our southern border. In fact, the number of people attempting to come across it illegally and coming in and fraudulently applying for political asylum and other things is up above where it was when Donald Trump became president. It went down for a while with the enforcement, but as the lawyers and as the human smugglers, the coyotes, they call them, figured out how to educate these folks, they come in and they ask for political asylum. Political asylum is an important principle. And as Michael Hayden said, we should do it according with our principles. Absolutely. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Soviet dissident who wrote the Gulag Archipelago and was a prisoner in those camps, we brought him here as a political asylee. And historically, maybe 5,000 or a few more people would come to the United States under this program. Right now, everybody coming across the border who doesn't get released into the interior then asks for political asylum, and the waiting list is up now over 300,000 people. It's being abused. It's got to be reformed, and that's what this legislation is all about. And yes, we are a nation of immigrants. We want to have people come to this country who are needed in this country, and that's why we are also moving toward a merit-based system here. But we got to have respect for the rule of law, and you can't come right. here illegally. You can't abuse the system.
Well, by the way, if they don't get the wall now, I really sense the president will shut down the government if he doesn't get it in September. So this would be one way to avoid that huge conflict in the fall. So I want to go to the Inspector General report. I don't know how much you were able to read, your staff able to read. But are you going to, at the Judiciary Committee, have a shot at Michael Horowitz and Chris Wray?
Yes, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, the Judiciary Committee and the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, chaired by Trey Gowdy, will be holding a joint hearing, and we will have Inspector General Horowitz as our only witness, and we're going to dig into the myriad questions that members have following his report, which, by the way, I think is a very thorough report and in almost all respects an excellent report. And it does point to the special treatment that Hillary Clinton received by the FBI in that investigation. And when you contrast that with how some of the same people who were involved in that investigation transferred over to the so-called Trump Russia investigation and how the bias there with the Sprint Page text and so on, you see a contrast that is unconscionable and can never happen again. And so in the 2020 elections, we've got to have a different perspective by the FBI if anybody alleges a crime on the part of anybody who's running for president of the United States or any other office for that matter.
Peter Strzok says he wants to testify. He said, forget the subpoena, I'm coming. What would you ask him?
Well, I would ask him why on earth he thought it important to be a lead investigator in both the Hillary Clinton matter and the Donald Trump matter when he expressed so much bias. Things like, we will stop it. We have an insurance policy. No one should vote for Donald Trump for president of the United States. That kind of person should not be engaged in either one of those investigations because they have extreme bias that is not fitting for such important investigations as these.
Chairman, do you feel as though we're ever going to find out the names of those other people writing the abhorrent things about saying that Trump supporters are retarded, that they're racist, let alone what they said about the president? We have unidentified people in there in those text messages. Michael Horowitz knows their names. Why don't we?
We're going to find out.
When?
We are committed to getting to the bottom of this. Well, first of all, you have to have the right people in the right place to ask the right question. Secondly, you've got to mine through hundreds of thousands of documents. But we now have that going on. We have actually a room at the Department of Justice where our investigators go over every day, and they can look unredacted at all of the documents that we've requested. And if we decide this one is relevant, that one is not relevant. The ones that are relevant, we identify them and ask them to be produced. They are now producing them. So we are making tremendous headway in this investigation. The Horowitz report is extremely important and extremely helpful. It helps to fill in a lot of the puzzle pieces, but this investigation is now going to accelerate over the next couple of months, both because of the access to the documents and because of his report and because we're getting now to the key witnesses. We've been interviewing witnesses, but we're getting to the key ones now.
How close are we to the end of Mueller? What do your best sources say?
Well, I have always said that the special prosecutor should be allowed to do his work. And I think it's very important, not only, from the standpoint of making sure that no collusion took place, but also from the standpoint of clearing that no collusion is taking place. So far, after over a year, we do not have evidence, any evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So at some point in time, I think we've got to recognize that while there are other people being prosecuted, they could be prosecuted by any United States attorney in the jurisdiction where these crimes took place. And the need for the special prosecutor was the allegation that there was collusion. It can't be shown. It's time to move on.
Congressman, Chairman Goodlatte, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Brian.